Still do have to finish it. Pool hoping to do so. Ready, ready matchup against Council. First pitch upstairs for ball number one. 1-0 the count. And Council, right-handed hitting second baseman. He is 0-3 on the game. His last time up, it was a sacrifice fly to center field. That was an RBI. 1-0 the count coming home, and that one well outside for ball number two. 2-0 the count, and prior to the sack fly, it was a pop-out, a fly-out, and another pop-out. That was all off of Justin Battle. The sack fly came off of Steiner in the seventh inning. 2-0 coming home, and this one's grounded up the middle, and that gets on through into center field. Nice piece of hitting from Jack Council, and he is on for the first time this game. Brings up Noah Goddard to the plate with a man on first and two outs in the bottom of the eighth. Still 13-6, the Rangers lead. Goddard came in as a pinch hitter back in the seventh inning, taking over for Esteban Garcia, who was the DH. So Goddard not playing the field. Runner on first is Council, and kind of looking at him over there, but not taking off. Swing and a miss from Goddard for strike number one. 0-1 the count, and Goddard, right-handed hitting DH. Righty-righty matchup between him and Poole. Poole trying to get through this inning, and 0-1 the count. Runner taking off from first. The pitch is outside for a ball. Throw on down to second. Bounces into center field. And now Council's headed off for third on the E2. Stolen base. And then an error allows him to get over to third. Now another run just 90 feet away from scoring. 13-6 still the lead here in the eighth inning. Pitch was called a ball, so it's a 1-1 count. Goddard would love a hit here. 1-1 count. It's fouled back, and now 1-2 the count. Trying to get through this one. The Rafters had been really the dominant team in every category up until this inning. Grand slam allowed. It's just the second time a grand slam has been allowed this year by the Rafters. Pitch misses outside. Now 2-2 to Goddard. Preston Steiner allowing the grand slam. The other grand slam allowed earlier in this year was back on June 20th at Madison. It was issued by Ashton Poole, who stands on the mound right now. So trying to get a little bit of revenge here. 2-2 the count coming home. Breaking ball hit up towards the shortstop. Picked up, and the throw on to first base is in time. And from Skinner to Maud for out number three. And that does through the eighth inning. However, four runs come across for the Chinooks on the two hits. There was one error, and the Chinooks left one on base. We go to the ninth. Rafters lead at 13-6 here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You may have heard of the 4% rule when it comes to retirement. After you retire, you withdraw 4% of your retirement savings each year. The truth is, the 4% rule should be viewed as a guide, not as a strict rule. For example, the rule is based on retiring at age 65. If you retire earlier, you may want a lower withdrawal rate. Your lifestyle also matters. Are you planning to travel the world or spend more time at home? Consider inflation as well. A well-built strategy usually includes small annual increases in withdrawals. But you don't need to take a raise just because the calendar says so. So, stay flexible and revisit your plan of withdrawals regularly. That will give you the best shot at a secure, fulfilling retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
And once again, the Raptors will see Brantley Upshaw as he looks to finish out this game for the Chinooks. The right-hander has gone 5-up, 5-down. He'll now get to face the 9-1 and 2 batters in the Raptors order. That's Mike Monahan, Hiroto Kobayashi, and Kareem Arusovic due up in the top of the ninth. It's 13-6 Raptors. First pitch high for ball number one. 1-0 the count. And Mike Monahan has reached all four times he's been up at the plate, although one of those times was on an error. The other three all on singles. Looking for hit number four. 1-0 the count. Misses low and away for ball number two. And entering this game on an ice-cold spell, he has quickly turned it around. 2-0 the count. Upshaw has the ball on his glove, brings it home, and that one in there for a strike. Now 2-1. And Monahan, he had been hitless in his first five games for the Raptors, but now 3-for-4 tonight. 2-1 the count. This one's ripped on the ground, but right over to shortstop. Picked up, throw to first, and that one right in the glove of the first baseman, Meinenbauer, and that is out number one. Brings us to Hiroto Kobayashi with the bases empty and one away in the top of the ninth. Still a 7-run Raptors lead. Four runs were scored by the Chinooks in the eighth inning on the grand slam from Grant Gray. However, if they did the same thing in the ninth, they would still be trailing by three. First pitch to Kobayashi, misses inside for ball number one, and that's all thanks to the Raptors' consistent offense throughout the entire night. They have just been on a roll today. 1-0 the count, a little bit upstairs, now 2-0 the count. Kobayashi, part of that, he had an RBI double his last time up back in the seventh inning. It was actually two RBIs on it. That's the last time the Raptors scored. As the 2-0 count, misses low and away for ball number three, 3-0 the count. Brantley Upshaw has retired six batters in a row. Trying to keep things rolling along here. Right-hander. A 3-0 count to Kobayashi. He swings and misses at strike number one. And not often do you see Kobayashi swinging on a 3-0 count. Mentioned this earlier in the game, but he did mention to me wanting to hit for more power. And in a game like this, you're okay with him taking that swing. Already has a double. Might as well try and see if he can send one out of here. 3-1 count, misses low, and he was not going to swing at that as he will walk on over to first. His third time on base today, and it brings up Kareem Arusovic with a man on first and one away in the top of the ninth. Kobayashi's reached three times in back-to-back games now after he had a three-hit game yesterday. He has two walks and a double today. Arusovic, the left-handed hitting third baseman at the plate. It's a lefty-righty matchup, and Upshaw will step off the bag and look over to first base to make sure that Kobayashi's not trying to take off. He has no stolen bases on the game today, and this one is crushed out towards right center field. Sears on the run, though, and he'll be able to track it down in front of the warning track, and that for out number two. F8 in the books, and I want to know how fast that thing was hit off the bat. Didn't have the right launch angle, line drive on that one, but
number 12, Jake O'Shane.
Also a very deep center field, 404 to dead center. You're almost never going to see one leave the park over that part of the park. Jake Beauchamp at the plate now, though. He hit one out of here earlier. The grand slam back in the sixth inning takes the first pitch low for ball number one. And Beauchamp, 2-for-3 on the game. He's been hit by two pitches. He's got a single and the grand slam. He also popped out back in the fourth inning. Runner taking off from first. Pitches low for a ball and a stolen base. 2-0 the count. First stolen base of the game for Kobayashi. Now in scoring position with two away. 2-0 count. He's taken off for third. Thought about the throw, but Kobayashi was up there in plenty of time. And now a 3-0 count to Beauchamp. And the Raptors have a runner on third base. Back-to-back steals for Hiroto Kobayashi. Now the 3-0 count to Beauchamp, and taken low and away, ball number four. Second walk of the inning by Brantley Upshaw. And it brings up Madinaco with two outs and runners on corners in the top of the ninth. Already leading it 13-6. But that lead has gotten a little bit smaller than it was previously. Five runs scored, unanswered by the Chinooks. And a check swing by Akko, but got him all tripped up on that one. It's called for a strike and probably was a swinging strike either way. 0-1 the count. Runner on first is Beauchesne. Would be interested to see if he'll try and take off. Quick runner over there, but he's taking his time. 0-1 on the inside edge. Called for strike number two. 0-2 the count. And Madden Akko up at the plate. Up for his sixth time today. He is 2-for-4 on the game. Both of his hits singles, and he also was hit by a pitch. 0-2 on the way home, and he swings and sends one over to third, but foul, and it remains 0-2. Last time up, Akko popped out to third base. Before that, he was hit by a pitch, singled, grounded into a double play, and also singled before that. Beauchesne still on first base, not really trying to take off. 0-2 count, inside for ball number one. 1-2 the count, and I think Beauchesne trusts Akko here, and why not? Akko's reached three times, and he's been one of the biggest on-base machines for the Rafters throughout the season. 1-2 count coming home. This one's a fly ball down the right field line and out of play. Still a 1-2 count. Akko about to see his sixth pitch of the plate appearance, and mentioned earlier that pregame interview that I did with him at Madison, another thing that he mentioned is trying to swing early in counts and see good pitches and put them into play. This is his sixth pitch of the plate appearance, but he's been swinging. 1-2 the count. Taking on the inside edge. That's called strike three. Not getting the bat off the shoulders there, though, and that finishes off the top of the ninth inning. For the Rafters, no runs, no hits. There were no errors in that inning. And the Rafters left two on base. We go to the bottom of the ninth. The Rafters trying to finish it off. They lead it 13-6 when we return here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
What an exciting game it's been here in Lakeshore as the Rafters are leading the Chinooks 13-6 as we head to the bottom of the ninth inning. The Rafters trying to close it out, and Ashton Poole back on the mound. The right-hander comes back out to try and go an inning and two-thirds to finish the game. He came in as a reliever for Preston Steiner back in the eighth inning. Steiner allowed the grand slam to Grant Gray, and with that, they had to take him out of the game, but still a big lead for the Rafters, as up to that point, Justin Battle absolutely dominated as a starter. He had the Rafters up big time before he handed it off to Preston Steiner, and Steiner only allowed one run in his first inning. The second inning did not go his way, however. And now in the ninth inning, Poole trying to finish it off. He'll take on Sam Meidenbauer, Cesar Gonzalez-Garcia, and Cade Sears due up in the bottom of the ninth. So Sam Meidenbauer stepping into the batter's box, right-handed hitting first baseman. Righty-righty matchup, first pitch on the way. It's a grounder foul down the first base line. And now an 0-1 count. Peyton Bryant behind the plate for the Rafters. Ashton Poole on the mound. 0-1 to Meidenbauer, and Poole steps back. He fires home, and that one outside for ball number one. 1-1 the count, and back in the eighth inning, Poole led off a strikeout, then allowed a single, but induced a ground out the next batter. 1-1 the count coming home. Breaking ball misses inside. Didn't get the break that he was hoping for, and now a 2-1 count to Meidenbauer. This game, he is 1-for-4. Struck out his last time up. Before that, it was a pop-out, a double, a fly-out. 2-1 count. Breaking ball, swing and a miss for strike number two. 2-2 the count. Ashton Poole trying to finish this game off for the Rafters. Get them back in the win column. And clinch the season series against the Chinooks. 2-2 the count on the way home. Misses low and away for ball number three. Full count to Meidenbauer. Trying to work on Poole. Early season really struggled with the walks. He's been better as of late, but still has been a point of focus. Breaking ball here is hit out towards right field. Underneath it is Kobayashi, who will call it off and make the catch for out number one. One up, one down in the ninth inning, and it brings up Cesar Gonzalez with the bases empty and one away in the bottom of the ninth. And Gonzalez off to a strong start in his Chinooks career, 2-for-4 in his debut as he grounded out his last time up, but he doubled the previous plate appearance. Also popped out and singled before that. Righty-righty matchup between him and Poole, and a 13-6 lead for the Rafters. Just got to get two more outs. First pitch from Poole coming home is crushed out towards high in the air in left center field. Underneath it is the left fielder, and Gaz will bring it in his glove for out number two. And the Chinooks now down to their last out of the game. The Rafters trying to get the win here on the road. And on the road, man, feels like this is such a good team.
Number 18, Cade Seager.
With the win here, they'll move to 12-18 on the season away from home. And, I mean, that's not a winning record or anything, as that pitch misses outside to Cade Sears for ball number one. However, you expect to play worse on the road than you do at home. And for a good team, the quote is that you win 2 out of 3 at home and you split on the road. As the 1-0 count misses inside, a 2-0 count now to Sears. That's what they say great teams do. Well, the Rafters still have a chance to split the season road games. 2-0 count, grounded foul down the first baseline. Now a 2-1 count. Because with a win here, they'll move to 12-18 away from Witter Field. And at home, the Rafters 9-25 this year. Things just haven't gone their way. And for whatever reason it is, trying to do so on the road, a grounder goes fair down the right field line and bounces away from Kobayashi. Now into the corner. He's going to be rounding for third base. Throw coming in from Kobayashi. Thought about rounding for home, but he'll stay up at third base. That might be the easiest triple I have ever seen. Cade Sears sailing into third base. I would have loved to see if he tried to make it a home run. That would have been incredible at this point in the game. Brings up Owen DeShazo with the man on third and two outs in the bottom of the ninth. Chinooks still down to their last out, trailing by 7. And Owen DeShazo, the right-handed hitting left fielder. It's a righty-righty matchup. On the mound, Poole steps back and fires home and almost got the swing on the high cheese, but DeShazo holds off. It's a 1-0 count. DeShazo 1-for-3 on the game. He walked his last time up, came around to score. 1-0 count coming home. Check swing with that one in there anyways for strike number one. Before the walk, he struck out, doubled, and grounded out. 1-1 the count to DeShazo. Pitch from Poole. Can't find the outside edge, so now a 2-1 count. And Poole just trying to finish this game off for Wisconsin Rapids. You don't want to have to use another pitcher. Only 3 pitchers used throughout the game. In part thanks to the quality start from Justin Battle. Six innings pitched for him. Breaking ball, finds the upper part of the zone. Now a 2-2 count. After Battle, Steiner was able to go an inning and a third, although he allowed five runs, but you had the big enough lead, you're okay with that. 2-2 the count. Will just needs one more. Breaking ball is popped up middle of the infield. This should do it. Underneath it is Maud, and he will adjust and make the catch for out number three, and the Rafters have won on the road. Final score, 13-6, and it's a good news Saturday night. Rafters postgame show comes up next, and so much to talk about today as everything clicked, except maybe the bullpen, but you didn't need it to at that point in the game because Justin Battle was so good out of the gates. We'll talk all about it coming up, recap the game, and take a look back at the stats as well. All to follow. This will be the Rafters postgame show coming up next here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
Well, hello and welcome into the Rafters postgame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas. A big-time victory for the Rafters, 13-6, the final score. And let's take a look back at how it all happened. And man, oh man, the Rafters really just getting to it from the get-go. It did take them until the second inning, but top of the second inning, the Rafters are able to score three runs. It's an RBI double from Luke Skinner, an RBI fielder's choice from Lachlan Maughan, and then an RBI single from Mike Monahan. Monahan's first hit as a Rafter was a big one. That made it 3-0 Rafters. And then another couple of scoreless innings for Justin Battle in the top of the fourth inning. The Rafters were able to add three more runs. It was a Mike Monahan hit that resulted in an error that allowed Lachlan Maughan to come home and score, a two-base error on that play. And then Kareem Arusovic followed with a two-RBI double to clear the bases, and that made it 6-0 Rafters at the middle of the fourth inning. Bottom of the fifth comes around, and Lakeshore is finally able to work their one run of the game off of Justin Battle. And in the bottom of the fifth, that one came around on an RBI double from Grant Gray, who had himself a night. We'll get to that in a little bit. But bottom of the fifth, the only run that the Chinooks would score against Justin Battle. Sixth inning comes around. Four more runs come across for the Rafters. And that was all thanks to the grand slam from Jake Beauchesne. First grand slam of the year for the Rafters, and it came in a big way. 10-1 the score after that. And then Justin Battle, another scoreless sixth inning. So he ended his game allowing just one run. It was earned over his six innings pitch. And he threw just 63 pitches, too. I thought there was a chance he'd come back out for the seventh, but wanted to keep some arms hot, so they moved to the bullpen in the seventh. But before that would happen, top of the seventh comes around. Rafters add three more runs. It was a Hiroto Kobayashi, two RBI single. And then that was followed up by a sacrifice fly from Kareem Arusovic to make it 13-1 Rafters in the middle of the seventh. That was the last run that the Rafters would score. Bottom of the seventh comes around, though, and Preston Steiner comes into the game. Not his best inning, but he only allows the one run on a sacrifice fly from Jack Council, although the base is loaded after that point in time. So 13-2 the score, and then the Rafters go scoreless in the eighth, but the bottom of the eighth, Steiner really struggles. He allows four straight base runners to reach. A walk, a hit by pitch, and then the grand slam from Grant Gray. First grand slam since early in the season that the Chinooks had, and it's also just the second time that the Rafters have allowed a grand slam this year, the other being at Madison back on June 20th. So about a month and a half ago, the last time that the Rafters had allowed a grand slam. But that started to get a little bit of momentum in the sales of the Chinooks, as they now had a 13-6 game. Seven runs, still pretty much in favor of the Rafters, but they did have to make a call to the bullpen as Ashton Poole comes in, and then he calms things down. Gets a strikeout, allows a single, and then gets out of the inning with a 6-3 ground out. To the ninth we go. The Rafters once again go scoreless, although they have runners on the corners, but don't manage to score. Bottom of the ninth, and a two-out triple from Cade Sears off of Poole. But that was all they did, and so DeShoto popped out to end the game with Poole on. So final score, 13-6. Let's take a look back at the numbers from the game. On the Rafters' offensive side of the plate, Mike Monahan, a three-hit game, 3-for-5 on the day. He scored three runs and had two RBIs. A big day for him. Behind him, Jake Jane had a 2-for-3 game, of course had the grand slam. He had four RBIs. He also drew a walk and was hit by two pitches. So he reached base five times throughout the night. Matanaka was the only other multi-hit player. He went 2-for-5 from the plate and was also hit by a pitch, so he reached three times. A lot of players who reached base three times. Kobayashi had two walks and a hit. Kareem Arusovic had a walk, a hit by pitch, and a hit. Along with that, you saw a hit by pitch and a walk for Peyton Bryant, a walk and a hit for Lachlan Maughan, and a lot of multi-on-base games for the Rafters, and that's basically a look back at all of it. Worth noting, Kareem Arusovic had three RBIs on the game. Kobayashi had two as part of their big nights. They both had doubles as well, part of their big offensive games. On the pitching side, 6 innings pitched for Justin Battle. He allows just one run. It's the third quality start of the season for a Rafters pitcher. And although he only had one strikeout, he did not walk or hit a batter with a pitch. And that was part of his success, as his ERA on the season has now dropped to 3.38. He has continued to look incredible on the mound for Wisconsin Rapids. Prest Steiner, not his best game, but Ashton Poole, an inning and two-thirds, did not allow a run on just 2 hits and also had 1 strikeout. No walk from Poole, and that is a great sign to see because that has been something that he struggled with. So you like to see him getting back on track with that. But that's just about it for the stats and numbers. Looking ahead to next game, the Rafters once again will be taking on the Chinooks, and the Rafters are going to be sending out the righty Trevor Moik, the former bullpen arm who became a starter and has been explosive out of the gates for the Rafters, hoping to keep things rolling along. He already has a quality start on the season. We'll see if the Rafters can make it 2 in a row, but we'll have to wait until tomorrow for that. That game will be coming your way here from Moonlight Graham Field at Capco Park in Mequon, Wisconsin. And the game will be aired, as always, here on WFHR. First pitch of that game, it's in the afternoon, 1:05 p.m., so hope you are ready for some earlier baseball on a great Sunday noon. And, well, that's just about all that I've got for you. One last thing, though, a couple of shout-outs have to be given to the people of Lakeshore for being hospitable, as always, and always being great to have fun with and get to talk to. And along with that, the Rafters coaching staff for always being open to any conversations that I might need to have. Along with that, a shout-out to WFHR for hosting us, as always, on the radio side, and to Chuck Gennaro for helping figure out any of the technical difficulties that we might have along the way. But that's going to do it for our broadcast. So one final time, the Rafters 13 and the Chinooks 6. From myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you and have a great rest of your night.
And the Giants before joining the Packers reminds him of being in college at Clemson.
I ain't never had that many home fans at a game coming from Arizona and New York. It's just pretty cool. Like I said, it reminds me a lot of Clemson. Like our spring game, we would have like 50,000 people there. You know, it's just really giving me a feeling of like kind of being back home at Clemson, which is a really good thing.
As Packers linebacker Isaiah Simmons with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Stephen Colbert has a few months left as host of The Late Show after the announcement he was let go by Paramount a couple weeks ago. Last week, former Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris appeared on the show and was asked by the host who the leader of the Democratic Party is. When she didn't answer to his liking, Colbert held her feet to the fire, and she finally said there are a lot of leaders. Sigh. Hard to believe the party is struggling. Harris was on the show to promote her book, 107 Days, which chronicles her whirlwind run for the presidency in 2024. And just like that, there will be no more Sex and the City, according to Variety. After 6 seasons of the original, 2 feature films, and 3 seasons of And Just Like That, series creator Michael Patrick King says the franchise is finally kaput for the time being. Sarah Jessica Parker paid tribute to her character, Carrie Bradshaw, with a montage on Instagram. The franchise finale will air August 15th on Max, or whatever it's called now. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy areas of smoke tonight and a low in the mid-50s. Hazy sunshine from the smoke tomorrow, highs within a degree or two of 80. Through the upcoming week, rain chances start to return as heat and humidity begins to build. Currently at 68.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday morning, Up North News reporter Selena Heller will talk to Jimmy Cuska, Jane Matinere.
And me.
Oh, that's Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She'll be here too.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Ask me, Robbie, have you tried my Lord?
I lifted up the shot glass with anxiety and fear. Then holy crap, my accent's weird. It sounds like I'm from here. A shot of Malort, a shot of Malort will make you feel new. A shot of Malort, hey, put Chicago into you.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Ready Network's Pat Oddball Show. 35 past the hour of 3 o'clock. Parker Olson, applause. Applause. Filling in for Zomers today, and he comes up with a song about Malort. Where did you find that?
I looked up Malort songs, and sure enough, Robbie Ellis on YouTube has got a song called Malort about moving to Chicago, meeting a girl, and she asks him if he likes Malort, and sure enough, now he talks like he loves Da Bears.
Our what's worst category was Malort or blackberry brandy. Now, if you're from Wisconsin, most people have at least heard of blackberry brandy. It's a sweeter drink. Some people say it cures a cold or helps with a cold. Like Grandpa Wallace would have said, it puts hair on your chest. You know, something like that. And but Malort, I had never heard of until this segment, and I had to look it up. And apparently, it's a terribly tasting drink, or at least most would say, tastes like a cigarette tray or ash put, whatever, ashes. And it's a Chicagoland-based exclusive type of drink. So we asked the question, and so thank you very much, Parker, for finding that. Our very own John Scott here at Civic Media listening in saying, Todd, Malort is the name of my Wi-Fi network. It's delicious. Full stop. Now, I'm not sure if John Scott's from Chicago or not, but I can't find too many people that think this thing is great. What's worse, Malort or blackberry brandy? Ted, who called in right before the break from Appleton, says, what the hell? I looked it up, but it doesn't even sound good. Have a great weekend. Sue in Franklin, lots of opinions on this. I want to just wrap this up with these opinions. Sue in Franklin says, my daughter lives in... we read that one already. Let's see here. Jules, we got that one. Anybody else here? Allie in Madison on WMDX says, my grandma always asked for her blackberry brandy when she had a cough. You ever hear of a show called, called The Waltons?
The Waltons. It's vaguely familiar for some reason.
It was a big, big show long before you were born, back in the 70s, 80s. It was a mountain family, and it was a drama on CBS for a long time. Very family, holistic show. And there were a couple of old widow women there, the sisters, and very religious women, and they used to, but they'd take a nip now and again, and they called it the recipe. It was never, they didn't drink alcohol, but it was just the recipe. And I wonder if there was blackberry brandy or Malort in the recipe. Jim in Appleton, I think we got to him on listening on WISS. Megan in Sun Prairie on MDX, Malort is way, way worse. I've never even tried it. I'm planning on keeping it that way. So there you go. Lots of feelings. Thanks for playing, everybody, on what's worse. I guess I never asked you, Parker, what's worse, Malort or blackberry brandy?
Well, I've had a brandy before, never that brandy.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go with brandy's better. So obviously, right. Malort's worse. It's overwhelming.
Think, unless you're just and Dom, we try to get Dom on from the John and Gordy show. He doesn't even know who I am. And number two, he says he's never tried it. So my real question is he actually a Chicagoan? I don't know. Megan in one of our people in traffic here listening in. See, at least Megan listens to the show. Dom doesn't listen to the show, but Dom doesn't even know who I am. But Megan does, and she says, Carol, one of our other great people in traffic, has had it. She says, it's worse for sure. Tastes like moose died in your mouth, according to her. She's going to text in real quick. Just walk in, Carol. There's no reason to just have her walk over here to the mic. Because I would like to have somebody on the air, have Carol come in here, and let's talk to her, interview Carol about this. Oh, she's texting now. I can literally see her desk out the studio windows. Carol says, I've tasted Merlot. It is so bitter, it tastes like a dead mouse on the back of your tongue.
You know, I guess but it's possible.
I have so many questions for Carol. Because number one, I want to know if Carol has ever tasted dead mouse. Because it's a very specific taste.
Have you heard of I think this is a real thing. The lawsuit, I think it was Mountain Dew or Coca-Cola got into.
Over what?
Over, someone said they found, bones of a mouse.
Yes, years ago. Yeah.
And they said, no, you didn't, because it would have disintegrated completely.
Now, see, that person would know what mouse tastes like. I have so many questions for Carol. I mean, was she hard on her luck at college and needed some food? And I mean, I don't know.
Maybe she needed to stay warm.
There's no judgment here, you understand. I'm just intrigued by the fact that she specifically said dead mouse. Well, I think Carol has given us our definitive answer here at the studios that Merlot is definitely worse. That was fun. That was a good one. All right. 41 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Parker Olson on the board filling in for Zomers, who is off today. Jim and Madison says, I think Dom has been hanging around with John and Gordy too long already. Thanks. That could be. He's getting that smart-ass attitude. See, that's what it is. Chicago attitude. Anyway, 41 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. State Fair, Parker says he does not recall in his well-lived life of 22 years, his well-lived life, 22 years, that he has never, does not have a memory of going to the Wisconsin State Fair. Now, maybe before this is over, I should put you and remind Dom of who I am and Zomers in the truck, and we all take a trip down to the State Fair.
I'm down for that.
Hilarity could ensue.
Yeah, we could put it's a truck.
Yes, I have a Dodge Ram.
Can we put a kiddie pool in the back?
Yeah, if you guys want to travel in a kiddie pool, sure. We'll put you in the back. We should take all you guys down there and experience the Wisconsin State Fair, although I fear that Zomers may get overheated. He has a very low tolerance for hot weather.
We'll get him one of those cooling rigs.
Yes, that's exactly what he needs. All right, here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, for those of us who have been there, we know that a couple of things people love about the fair. Number one, the food. You can get almost anything on a stick at the Wisconsin State Fair. Also, you have the animals. Lots of kids and in agriculture, this is their big week because they've shown their animals locally, and now they've getting them down to the Wisconsin State Fair. Big beef cattle auction. They have poultry as well, hogs, all kinds of things. Wisconsin animals are very, very popular. My favorite part about the Wisconsin State Fair, kind of a close call between the food, the cream puffs. I love the cream puffs, but also I love that the building where they have all of the vendors. It's like the dice guy, you know, the knife, you know, the Ginzu knife. It can chop, it can slice, you can cut a tin can and still slices through a tomato like it's going through paper. It's really, really great. So anyway, that's my favorite part. But for a lot of people, it's the food. So from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel now, from Jim Higgins on the byline, says more than 100 new foods and drinks coming to the 2025 Wisconsin State Fair. From a hunka hunka Elvis donut ice cream sandwich.
A hunka hunka.
That's very good. Nicely done, Parker. A hunka hunka Elvis donut ice cream sandwich to Wisconsin old-fashioned wings. Now, that does sound good to me. Vendors will serve more than 100 new foods and beverages at the 2025 Wisconsin State Fair going on from now until August 10th. If Dubai chocolate is your flavor of the season, you'll have choices. If you have a sweet tooth but are gluten-free, there are options here for you too. Here is a list of the new edibles in alphabetical order. Items are bold-faced. Let's just going through some of the stuff here. This article, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they even tell you what, like, people have allergens or something like that.
That's very nice.
Here is the allergen notice. Quote, eating bugs is not recommended for people with a shellfish allergy.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
I should check with Zomers. He's allergic to a lot of stuff. He may have a cell. I'm not sure if he's allergic to bugs or shellfish. We're going to start alphabetically. We're not going to go through all these, but a couple of them. A Hunka Hunka Elvis donut ice cream sandwich is at Badger Bites. Especially on a hot day, a donut and an ice cream sandwich, not bad. Alligator Cajun mac and cheese sundae at Exotic Meats. See, you had me until you said sundae, because I don't think I want alligator Cajun mac and cheese. I'm not sure if they're using sundae as like those two things or whether all that's over ice cream.
If that's over ice cream, that is a crime.
Yeah, I don't think so. Here's Badger Mary funnel cake. All right. Banana cream pie slush. I don't know if I like that or not. I'm not a big banana guy. Are you?
I'm not. No.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm okay with it. I'll eat a banana.
Will you? See, I.
Banana flavored stuff is bad. Yeah.
I'm almost there. It's the texture for me. I don't know. I can't get over the.
That's also fair. It's got to be right.
Yeah. Todd and Parker talk about their disdain of bananas next on Civic Media. Here is Bang Bang Chicken Tots. Sounds interesting and fun. Barn Burger, Major Goolby's, Heartland booth. I don't know. A barn burger. I guess it depends what kind of meat from the barn you're including in there.
Yeah.
A Bavarian cream bug donut. This is the one that has like insects in it.
I've had crickets before.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Like chocolate covered or deep fried or what?
Not barbecued. Teriyaki really? Crickets. Yeah.
Like at someone's home or a stand or what?
I think it was when I was in middle school in a class. I think.
Really?
Yeah.
People like a science project.
Perhaps. I don't remember. It was good, though, because you basically just taste the seasoning.
Now, this one sounds good. You can find this at a place called Mini Donuts. We're going over new foods at the Wisconsin State Fair with Parker and Todd. You ever fly? You get those Biscoff cookies?
I haven't flown since I was like 9.
Really? Baseball?
Yeah.
Well, now we'll get you on a plane and we'll fly down to Milwaukee to the State Fair and we'll kill two birds with one stone.
I'm sure you know someone with a plane.
It's been a few years. I used to. Not like a jet or anything, but like, yeah. Actually, I do. I get Alex Henvey from Dallas, Texas.
There you go.
He'll bring up he doesn't have a jet, but he has like a prop plane.
All right, let's get him on the horn.
All right. He occasionally listens to this show. You know, Alex, his company provides all of the onion rings for Culver's.
I hear good things.
They're fantastic onion rings. So support local business in Texas and buy some onion rings at Culver's. The Biscoff is the little cookies they give you on a plane a lot of times. This is called Biscoff Cookie Butter Crunch Funnel Cake. So kind of a buttery cookie in a funnel cake, deep fried with powdered sugar. I could go for that. What else we have? Milwaukee Brathouse's Blueberry Breakfast Bratwurst. It's a Usinger blueberry-infused brat topped with house-made bourbon bacon jam in a pancake bun.
Sure.
I could go for that. All right. I'm in. Come on back. We'll wrap up foods at the Wisconsin State Fair and other festivals around the state. It's a TGIF edition. Parker and Todd, the All-Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0000. 0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR. Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sport. From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you listen to. Brittany Merlot and her team with a check of weather. Here it is. It's going to be nice. All right. It's going to be a nice weekend. A little cooler than maybe normal, but it's I'm maybe getting out of the Wisconsin River tomorrow, Parker, with my parents, my godsons, as we say in Spanish, compadres. Might be going to do a little kayaking on the Wisconsin River. Are you a kayaker?
I'm not a water person, really? Ironically enough.
Not a water guy.
Not a being on the water guy.
You don't like?
I'm a drinking water guy.
Yes, you like to drink a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't swim, or you just prefer not to be around water?
It's the swimming for me.
Really?
Yeah. As a kid, never really learned.
Yeah, I get
so,
that.
So, yeah. In high school, I figured it out sort of for gym class, but... Well,
So I'm going to be doing a little kayaking, maybe tomorrow. And then I just have to catch up on some stuff on Sunday. But it's going to be beautiful out there. We have time to check out the street cam, Parker, because here's the Sam Davidson street cam down on State Street in Fairchild. Look at that for those watching the stream. Beautiful down there. Now, it's very quiet, but over the break. Oh, you got the music, too. Thank you.
Of course.
Over the break, there was about 4 or 5 cops right there in the corner of that building, talking to a guy. And they were talking to him, and then he just kind of stormed off. So I don't know if there's trouble down on State Street or not. We don't want trouble, Parker.
No, but there surely is trouble on State Street, Todd. If anything that I have learned about living in Madison for my whole life is that there is trouble on State.
You can find trouble if you want it. There's no trouble here, though, at this show or this company. 855-752-4842 if you want to weigh in. All right, thank you very much. So I'd say a serene downtown in State Street right now. Speaking of swimmers, now earlier in the show, we had called out because we had talked about this drink called Malort from Chicago. And I said, well, dial up our resident Chicagoan here, Dominic Lee, one of our new producers here at Civic Media on the John and Gordy Show. And so Parker dials him up and he wasn't responding. And then he finally did. And he gave his opinion, said, I never had it. And he said, who's Todd? And we thought, well, Dom's just being snarky. That's what Chicago guys do, you know. And because I just seen him 3 hours ago. And over the break, Parker starts laughing. I said, what's wrong? He goes, I texted the wrong Dom. It's a swimmer from Whitewater.
Yeah. That was not my finest moment.
No, it's hilarious.
What I love about that is the last time I texted this guy was in December of 2023.
Wow. And he responded.
Instantly.
That's great. Well, you must have left a good impression.
I guess. I needed some pictures for a story I was writing about him. So he
You're a sports writer.
Yeah. Back then.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic. So Dom, the swimmer at Whitewater, has never had Merlort, and he doesn't know who the heck I am. But we apologize for disparaging Dominic Lee earlier. We'll give him equal time next week if he so chooses.
I'll buy his lunch next time. Next round of Canes is on me, buddy.
Oh, I love it. Fantastic. Yes, Malort. That's what it is. Very good. Malort. Oh, yeah. Oh, so Carol. In the office here, who's listening, who says it tastes like dead mouse, which brings up a lot of questions. But Carol says it's one syllable. Malort. Malort. I don't know how to say it. A Chicago handshake is a Malort and a PBR. Really? A Malort and a... All right.
Surely the PBR cannot pull all of Malort's weight in that.
I don't know. By the way, a couple minutes left. You want to win those Brewers tickets. We have 4 Brewers tickets up for grab. The computer's going to draw the entry here in about 4 minutes. Go to the Civic Media app. Click on one of the first 10 stations. Open it up. It says text. Click on that little thing that says text. And then text in the word gold, G-O-L-D. Text the word gold right now for your chance to win 4 tickets to the Brewers at our club-level seats next Friday, August 8th, against the Mets at 7:10 in the afternoon. Text the word gold, G-O-L-D. What do you got, Park?
I just got another answer from Dom the Swimmer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He says, okay. Well, tell Todd, thanks for checking in. He's always been a real one.
We need to get this guy on the show. We reunite Parker with people that he knew from 2 years ago. That'll be a new segment on the show. All right. Quickly here, we're doing new foods at the Wisconsin State Fair, courtesy of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. New foods at the Wisconsin State Fair. The State Fair is starting now, underway in West Allis. All kinds of great things. Now, Carrie, listening in Tulsa on WMDX, says that she has tried the Brat Rangoon from Verst Bar. So go to the Verst Bar at the State Fair, order the Brat Rangoon, one of the new items there. So that sounds delicious. A little closer to home for us, down in New Glarus, the New Glarus Department Fire Fest is happening this weekend. You ever seen this, Parker, when they have like 2 telephone poles and there's a metal wire stretched between them and there is a half barrel on a pulley and a pulley. And so they use fire hoses, both fire departments, and they spray the water up towards the half barrel and whoever moves the half barrel on the wire to a certain point wins the firefight.
Huh.
Is good times
that
had by all.
That sounds entertaining.
Yeah.
That sounds like something a lot of people would lose money betting on.
Right? It's probably in Vegas right now. All right. Fun show. Great show. If you're checking out the Wisconsin State Fair, do so carefully, but get down there. Also, this sounds delicious. Caramel apple waffle on a stick at Waffle Chicks. Chick spelled C-H-I-X. Chick.
Of course
it is. All right, great show today. Zombers, hope you're doing well. Parker Olson, thank you very much. Did a great job today. Many thanks to Luke Mathers for helping out on the show today as well. Appreciate him. Come on back on Monday. We'll be talking to Wisconsin Watch about the growing epidemic, or at least the growing part of measles in the state due to fewer vaccinations. So we'll check up on that. Until then, have a great weekend, everybody. Maggie Dawn is next. Remember, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Air quality dangers. The smoke from Canadian wildfires is now leading to air quality alerts in at least 11 states, impacting more than 36 million Americans. CBS News meteorologist Kylie Miller says the air quality alert for the Chicago area has been extended until midnight tomorrow.
Those Canadian wildfires continue to blow in and drift in all of that smoke, and it's settling here at the surface. So we're actually going to see another push of smoke at the surface going through tonight, early tomorrow, and then by tomorrow afternoon and evening, it is sitting right over Chicago due to more of an easterly track of the wind.
Police are scouring a mountainous area of southwestern Montana for a military veteran who they say opened fire at a bar, killing four people, including a bartender.
Authorities are now focusing their search in the mountains near Stumptown Road, just west of Anaconda.
That is Lee Johnson, who's with the Montana Department of Justice.